Still morning. Morning, everybody. Thank you very much for having us here. It's just like being back at home in many ways. Some new faces, which is always great. We don't want to just stay the same little group all the time. We want to see more new people because it's great to know new people. And if we haven't seen you before, I'm sure we'll get a chance to speak later and say hello. Kenny has asked me to say a little bit about what's happening. As you know, we're travelling into Perth to fit in with this minister and training thing. So it's about, on a Sunday when we go, it's about 78 miles with the round trip. But we're having a great time, and God's doing great things. That's what he does. We're actually, just as a prayer request, I've said to one or two, where we're hoping to start an outreach in our growth, we're doing a Christmas card drop. So pray for us. It's 825 houses. So it's a little bit sore on the wrist writing all the Christmas cards out. But God's good, and we're getting through that. So please pray about that, that we're going to put a little card in that if people want to get in touch, if they have something they want us to pray for them or whatever, they can get in touch. And it's almost like a first push there into the area to see what we can do for Jesus. Another personal item for you. When I was here last, I did ask you to pray for my dad, who was facing a foot amputation through diabetes. He was still facing a form of amputation up until Tuesday there. And he went to see the consultant, who was quite annoyed that my father was sent to see him and there was nothing wrong with his toe. So thank you for your prayers. Prayer works. It really does. He's at the point now, for the first time in almost 9 months, he's had a pair of shoes on. And he thinks it's great. No, we can't wait to take our shoes off when we get in at night. And he's desperate to get them on. So there you go. God is so good. I was on my way over here today. We were a little early today. I think we're just so used to going to Perth, and it's a little bit longer in the car. But on the way over, I saw this sign outside the house. It was pink, and it caught my attention. And I thought it was going to be one of these for sale signs. It wasn't. And so it was going through a little village, and you have to slow down, of course. So I was going through this little village, and on the sign it said, Futura. And underneath it said this, facial rejuvenation. Like some of us, including myself, we may need a facial radical move. But I thought, facial rejuvenation, I don't know what that means. I really don't, I have to be honest. But to me, there's things for each of us. We may need emotional rejuvenation. We may need it spiritually, socially, whatever it happens to be. God deals with everything. I really believe that. We have a God who deals with everything. And I was so pleased when Kenny prayed. He was praying for those that were sick. And we need to remember our family members who need prayer. Maybe we're here this morning and we need prayer. Maybe we're going through something that's quite traumatic and we need support and we're afraid to say to someone. We all go through it, and we're all here for one another. So if you need someone to pray with you, just even one person, it doesn't have to be a whole lot, it doesn't have to be a big show, but just don't leave without having God bless that. We come and we prepare. The group prepare their music. They're all ready. They've prayed about it. They've selected the particular music. Kenny, when he was preparing to lead the service, he would have done that. Even I have to prepare, but God usually changes his mind part of the way through it anyway. But the thing is, it tells us in the Bible, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not the case, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Even Jesus prepares. He's preparing for us. So we need to do the same thing. We need to be ready to hear what God has to say, because he's always got good things. We are at Christmas time, and I'd like to read to you from a very famous part of the Bible. It's in the book of Matthew, and it's chapter 2. And some people who have heard this year after year can maybe even close their Bibles and just quote it. I don't know. But I'd like to read it. And as is the case for all of us, before we read the Bible, we need to ask God to speak to us, because we don't want to just hear the same old things. We want to hear God. We want to meet with the one who loves us. So let's pray together. Father, we just love you. We thank you that you're in control, because we know that we can make so many mistakes without you. And we pray today that you will open our mind to what you have to say to us, that you will teach us new things about you, that you will teach us in such a way that we will leave this place different from when we entered, that we will love you more, that we will listen to you more, that we will desire you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. So it's Matthew chapter 2, and we're beginning at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you find him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went in front of them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, or they were overjoyed. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Amen. I really don't know about yourselves, but I'm not much of a person for technology. Maybe if you're in that sort of group, I'll recognize you. But I'm in some ways I'm all right, because I have to work on a computer. But in some ways, I've asked Isabel sometimes about Messenger. I can't send a private message. I've sent messages to people supposedly in private, and half my contacts will get it. And I haven't got a clue about some things. So I'm a little bit of a dinosaur. In work, they call me Jurassic, because I'm one of the old timers. And we have this idea in our minds that some things new are great, when really we need to be remembering that the old things that pass the test of time should be held on to. There are some things that we can't just get rid of because it's old fashioned. There are some things that are so precious to us and so real to us, we need to literally cushion them We need to hold on to them and cradle them and keep them as precious. Have you ever thought about the story of the wise men? I love this story about these camels going across the desert, and you can just picture them walking over the desert. And I would probably be one of the servants, knowing the type of person I am, having to trail along the back walking because I wouldn't be rich enough to have one of these things to ride on. And they're going along there, and sometimes when we think of modern nativities, or we think of some of the popular ideas of Christmas, our minds can get confused as to what God's word actually says. And it's good sometimes just to take a back seat and to think about how it should be and what it's all about. Because it's then we can strip it back, all the commercialism, all the materialism, all the made-up little bits and pieces that are added on can be stripped away, and we can come and really see what's happening with Jesus. And so when Kenny asked me to come this morning, I hadn't a clue what we were going to think of, what we were going to look at. And then I was given something, and I thought, I can't do that. That's too simple. That's too basic. Everybody knows that. And as time went on, it's the only thing I had. So I'm just going to share it with you. And we're going to have a little look at it. And maybe some of you remember back in the 70s and 80s, there was a book that came out called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Some of you may have even read that. Right, well, if you wanted to know anything, I would call this is the wise man's guide to following the star. Right? So this is the wise man's guide to following the star. And we're just going to take it from Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to look at the very basics of what it's really, really all about. When I was quite a lot younger, I'm not going to say just a few years younger, quite a lot younger, I was one of these people who was very interested in and looking at the stars and things like that. And I was so much into it, somebody bought me a telescope. And I would sit out in the garden in the middle of the night, and I would just sit there looking at the stars. No, I was called all sorts of things for doing that. No, you fool, sitting out there in the cold, no blanket around me, coat on me. And I just wanted to see what it had out there. It was fascinating. And sometimes we have to make an effort, don't we? We have to make an effort about things. And so I'm going to give you a little list about following the star. And this might be for me just, it might be for any one of us, but I trust God will speak to us through it. And the first thing we see about these wise men is very simple. First of all, we have to have a star. It would be a bit silly if we were going to do this and there was no star in the first place. There has to be a star. There has to be something that catches our attention. Now, these wise men weren't called wise men simply because they needed a book that said an idiot's guide to following a star. They were called wise men because they were intelligent. They were kings. They were educated men. In their culture, they would have been people who would have been the cream of society. And could you imagine that these men would have been the elite? And they would have gathered together. I saw a star last night. I saw that too. What do you think about it? Why did it just appear? Why is it there? What's it all about? And they would have discussed with each other what was going on, what it was about. They would have been comparing notes almost about this star. And as they had talked about it, of course they didn't know God. We knew that they were men who had traveled over from the east, which was Persia, today's Iran. So they had traveled some distance. It wasn't like they could jump on stagecoach or anything like that and go down the road. They traveled a distance. They had come from the east, more than 500 miles, someone has worked out. A lot of distance in those days. And so they had seen this amazing star. It caught their attention. And what was going to happen, they didn't know. They were caught up in it. Have you ever been so captivated by something you couldn't let it go? So caught up in what something could mean. These men wanted explanations. They investigated it. They looked to see what was going on. All the knowledge that they had, it didn't make a difference because they couldn't answer all the questions they had. And so they had to do something about this star. The next thing is, when you follow the star, it means you have to move. You get the star, but when you follow it, you have to do something about it. They followed the star. They went in the direction of the star. I wonder, I'm not saying we all have to look up the sky and just look for stars. I'll tell you a little, that's the true story. I can do this because none of my side of the family's here. Sure, all right. And you won't know about this. I lived in Bristol for a few years. And we used to be able to walk from the part of Bristol we lived in, which was near Filton where they built Concord. And we could walk from there right into Bristol city centre. Took about 30 minutes. It was nothing for us. But I would think twice about it now. About 30 minutes. And we were walking and doing this. And we were coming back one evening from being out somewhere. My sister, the sister next to me, Pauline, and her brother, her husband were over visiting with her two little boys at the time. And as we were coming back, it was an amazing night. No clouds. We're walking through this little village called Henley's. Thatched cottages everywhere. It was picturesque. And my brother-in-law was looking at the sky, at all the stars. And the next thing was, he walked right into a lamppost. Now, we thought that was hilarious. He didn't. But sometimes when we're following something, we need to be careful that we don't see what's lying around us. It's good to follow a star, but the type of star is important. It could be what somebody says to you. It could be a family member that shows care to you when you're not expecting it. Maybe God is speaking to you through a bit in the Bible, or maybe a song that's being sung, or maybe you have a dream at night and it sticks in your mind because something's going on. God uses all sorts of things for each of us. But the important thing is, God's doing something special in our world. God's touching lives. God's changing people. God's healing people. We have a God that we can follow. A God who'll never disappoint us. So after we start moving in the direction of the star, it's important to be persistent. We need to be persistent. It's not enough just to say, I'm going to follow that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to choose Jesus. And then when the first problem comes, oh no, that's a bit too much. I don't think this thing's enough for me to keep going. No, I've got too much to lose. The important thing is we've got even more to gain. We've got so much to gain. Let's think about what the Bible says. When we're following the star, we have to keep going. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, calls his disciples, and he speaks to four of them at the beginning, and he says, come and follow me. And do you know what happened? It says that they were fishermen, and they got their boats, that was our livelihood, and they pulled them up on the shore. Now, in that culture, whenever somebody done that was a fisherman, it meant that they were turning their back on their livelihood. They were making a commitment. Sometimes that can sound like a bad word, commitment. Jesus wants us to be persistent. He wants us to be committed for the long run. He wants us to see it all the way through. It's so important that we're persistent friends. My grandmother used to say, she used to say an awful lot, to be honest. But one of the things she always said to us is, God gave you two ears and one mouth, so you would listen twice as much as you would speak. I don't know if she said it just because some of us said too much and she liked quietness, or she was just trying to be profound. But it's true. We need to listen more than we speak so that we can do the right thing. And maybe God is speaking to us this morning and we're not listening. We need to listen more. Because if God is speaking to us and we do nothing about it, the next time it's going to get harder to hear what he has to say. So we have to listen. Next thing. This is true, by the way. You're allowed to use your brain. When you're a Christian, you're not a robot. You're allowed to use your brain. We're allowed to use common sense. After all, God created us. We do believe that. God created us. So he made us, and he made us with an amazing mind. It's even better than a computer. Even the scientists will tell us that. He made us with a mind. He gave us the ability to understand things. But he also gave us other people around us with experience. Maybe spiritual experience, maybe lifetime experience, all sorts of things that we can draw off with each other. It's important. And so we're allowed to use our brain. And we see this with the wise men. Now, I'm not going to say this is related to me. It probably is. But we are told as men, especially when we're driving, that we never ask directions. How many men are like that? No. Be honest. We're in church. We will not ask directions. I know where I'm going. And it's usually where we're not meant to. Now, the thing is, these wise men asked for directions. They thought, right, well, if it's a king I'm going to, where would a king be born? In a palace. So they went to the palace in Jerusalem. And they went and saw King Herod, who was quite a nasty character. Let's be honest, he had his two sons killed. He had his daughter killed. And he was married four times. And three of his wives were killed. The only reason the fourth one lived is he died before he could get rid of her. So we need to remember, these wise men, they weren't that wise, because they didn't think about what they were doing. Here was a man who was power hungry and tried to destroy everybody who would threaten his throne. And they said, where's the new king? Not very clever. So common sense and expert knowledge do have their limitations. They do. We need to judge whether things are right, if we've been given the right information. And that's where we have this wonderful book. This helps us decide. Now, the great thing that happened to these wise men, they went to Herod, and what did Herod do? He panicked. It says all Jerusalem with him. It means all the important people, all the people at court. So what did he do? He said to his people, his counselors, all these people that knew these so-called things, well, where is this king going to be born if not here? And they remembered the prophecy in the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. It's going to be in Bethlehem. That's the town where King David was born as a shepherd. And so that's where Jesus was going to come into the world. And so he told the wise men, can you see he's just that bit crafty? When you see him, come back and tell me, because I want to worship him also. And we knew really what he had in mind. It was nothing of the case. What was the next thing that happened with the wise men? This just gets exciting for me. The wise men then started to keep the star in front of them again. They had taken their eyes off the star when they saw Jerusalem and thought of the palace. Now they were starting to realize, We need to go back to basics. What's exciting about God, and this is what I find good because we all need this. Our God, our Savior Jesus, is the God of the second chance. We don't make a commitment and say, I want to be a Christian and that's it. And then we'll make a mistake. But I tripped up and fell. I'm not good enough. None of us are good enough. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to fall at some time or other. We don't want to, but we will. But what should make us feel good? This hope that we've been praying about and singing about and talk, the hope is, the knowledge is, the trust is that he's going to help us back up again. He's not going to push us away. He's there for us all the time. He loves us so much. Keep the star before you at all times. Keep Jesus in front of you. If we keep Jesus at the front and just look at him, have you ever seen some of these beautiful horses they have on the racing track? Some of them are amazing creatures, and they have the blinkers there just so as they don't look straight. They're just looking straight ahead. All that matters is the finish line. We need to be the same. All the distractions, all the things that can stop us from loving Jesus, we need to get them out of the way. Commercialism, materialism, all that sort of stuff. We need to remember it's Jesus and Jesus only. It's only him. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who saves us. He's the one who keeps us. He's the one who blesses us. It has to be Jesus. It has to be the one who's there for me, for you, for each of us, for all of us. We're family. And then we go on. We jump on a little bit to what is said here in Matthew chapter 2. We can't get that attached to the star that we miss what we're aiming for. I wonder if God is saying something special to us today. It may just be one person here. God is saying, I want you to do this, or I want you to do that. And we're so caught up with the idea of it that we're missing the actual thing itself. We're missing what it's all about. It's not about doing it. It's about who's asking us to do it. God wants us just to be available. And we do have busy lives. Sometimes we can be so overwhelmed with our lives that we think, how am I going to get through this week? How am I going to last? I've got this on, I've got work on, I've got family commitments here, I've got this over here and that over there. How am I going to fit it all in? How am I going to cope with it? The important thing is we don't take our eyes off Jesus. If we follow the star too much, we'll forget all about him. Don't just follow the advice. Remember, he has to be the end of the advice. If we pass by who he is, we're missing out. Jesus doesn't want any of us to miss him. He wants us all to enjoy him. I've only two little things I want to share with you. First one is this. When we acknowledge Jesus, there's loads of gifts. That's what a lot of people think Christmas is all about. It's all about presents. That's a great thing if you're a kid. It's terrible if you've got a birthday on Christmas Day, isn't it? Have you ever thought of that? You end up getting a Christmas present and a birthday present all in one. It was great when you didn't know you'd get two, but then you just get one on Christmas Day. No. When we trust Jesus, he gives us gifts. And these gifts are very special. Really special. I was sharing part of the service Perth last week, and there was a question that was bugging me. I hate this question. I have to be honest. I really do. What do you want for Christmas? Who else hates that question? What do you want for Christmas? I haven't a clue. And sometimes you just don't want to hear it. But it's true with God's word. Sometimes we don't want to hear some of the things that make us uncomfortable. But we need to hear it. We need to hear everything in God's word. And Jesus promises us, not just me, not just pastor, not just people who serve as elders, but every single person who trusts Jesus, whether it's 2 days ago or 20 years ago, he promises us 5 things to help us live as Christians. 5 things. And I'm not very good at some of these things, but I was talking with Isabel about this. 5 things. You'll remember it this way. S-H-A-P-E. Shape. Right? S-H-A-P-E. Now, some of us aren't a very good shape. We come on all shapes and sizes. But as Christians, we can learn it this way. All right? These are God's gifts to me and to you if we love him. First of all, S, he gives us spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts don't have to be walking around touching people and healing them like it says in the Bible. That's one of them, but it's not all of them because there's other lists of gifts. You can have a gift of hospitality, of maybe when somebody comes in, making them feel welcome, making them feel cared for, making them feel important, even something like that. Standing at the door, welcoming people in, that's a gift. These are gifts from God. And some people think, oh, that's not a very important gift. Do you know, some of us would be terrible at some of these things. Some people would say, oh, you'd be great at, well, I wouldn't have a clue of how to welcome people properly. I find it hard. I struggle. We all have our strengths and weaknesses, and we need each other. So we have spiritual gifts. The second thing is H, we have a heart. Now, yeah, we all have hearts, or we should have, or we won't be here. Simple. However, as Christians, as God's people, we should have a heart like Jesus. We should care. I was so blessed when I heard pastors share about those vests, how much they cost, and people give. That's heart. Compassion, caring. We have heart. A, we have abilities. Now, some people have different abilities from other ones. And it's important that we recognize that every ability, when it's aimed at Jesus, is good. It's one of these things. Sometimes we think some people have magnificent abilities. We all have abilities. We all have them. Some people are amazing. I knew a young man years ago. I'm saying that because I was around his age, so it makes me feel good. So he was a young man years ago, and he could walk up to anybody in the street, and he would start a conversation, and within 10 minutes, he was talking to them about Jesus. I would be petrified at that. That's not me. We all have abilities. We're all different. Praise God. Otherwise, we'd all be fighting with each other about how to do things. We all have our place. And then we have P. P's a personality. Now, I think this is wonderful. God makes us all so unique that we all have different personalities. Now, before we knew Jesus, some of us had very, very strong, dangerous personalities. In my case, I had quite an explosive temper. We're all different. But when we trust Jesus, as we grow as Christians, as we learn, as we develop, we start to change. God starts knocking the rough edges off. He starts making things appear different. Even things that would have got under our skin before don't get under our skin anymore. What's the point? God's good. The last one is E, and this is the one I struggle with. Sometimes still, experiences. We have good experiences and bad experiences in life, don't we? Things that we don't like dredging up. But in every experience, we always learn. And it could be that we are even going through something today that will help somebody tomorrow. God will use that experience. So that's the whole thing, shape. Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experience. We need to put God first. He's the one who does these things. He's so amazing, so wonderful. And the last thing about these wise men, I think this is great. They went home another way. Why? Because God had made them realize what Herod was up to. They realized that. My prayer for me, my prayer for each of us this morning, we have great worship, we've been led, the Lord has given us his word. But my prayer this morning is this. When we leave this place, who we are as people will be different. We're leaving. Our life will take a turn another way. We have to. We have to change. We have to be different. If we know God this morning, we need to get closer. There's no doubt about that. I need to get closer. It doesn't matter whether we've been a Christian 40 years or 4 minutes. We always need to get closer. We'll never be perfect until we go to that place that he's prepared for us. And then we'll be so busy looking at him, we won't be interested in what the place looks like. It's quite interesting. For the first time, we've been in Arbroath 18 months. Is it around 18? We moved in July. Yeah, so it's near enough 18 months anyway. I'm Irish, don't worry about it. So we've been there around that amount of time. We've just got our bedroom decorated after all that time. And the guys who came and did a great job. Did the whole thing in a day. Great. First thing that was noticed, there's a mistake with the papering. Do you know, when we get to heaven, we're not going to be interested in the state of the place Jesus prepares. We're going to be too busy looking at him. We need to remember, we can't stay the same. We cannot stay the same. We have to keep changing. We have to keep asking, Jesus, make me more like you. Take away those faults that are holding me back. And when we fall, when those mistakes come, when those problems happen, I'm sorry, Lord, help me not to do it again. We need to be honest. We can't say, oh, I never make mistakes. We used to have a chap in the church I grew up in. Amazing guy. And he was one of these, the type of church I grew up in was very strict. Very strict. Isabel's been over to it now, and it's actually quite reformed. But it was very strict at one time as I was growing up as a kid. All these sorts of things. And there was this guy who used to get up every Sunday. And he knew his Bible back to front. It was amazing. He could quote it end to end and all these sorts of things, and he knew what to do and he knew what to say. And then he came out with something that blew my mind. I thought, something wrong here. He says, I'm so glad I love Jesus. I've never sinned since the day I trusted him. And that was over 35 years ago. And I thought, no, that's not right. Do you know, we still sin. We still do things that are wrong, but we need to keep following. We need to keep, just like those wise men, they traveled maybe over 500 miles on the back of a camel. We just need to keep plodding on, following Jesus, looking to him, learning every day, remembering he's our guide. He's the one that's not going to let us down. He's the one that even if we make a mistake, he's going to pick us up again. He's going to help us every step. He just loves us. I wonder, are we going to leave this place the same as we came in, or do we want him more? Let's just pray together. Father, we want to thank you because There is no one like Jesus. There is no one like you, Lord. We want to thank you that we don't have to leave here the same, but we can go out different people. We can be just transformed, just as these wise men's lives were changed. They were changed because they met Jesus. And even as we think of the baby in the manger, maybe holding on to a bit of straw in one hand and the other arm waving and all the excitement that a baby brings, we remember that it was that baby who would become a man to bear those nails through his hands, the spear in his side and the crown of thorns. And we thank you, Lord, that because you're alive today, we can live for you now. And we pray that you will come, and at this very special time of the year, and sometimes very difficult, that you will make yourself real to us in a fresh way. In Jesus' name, amen.